April is National Poetry Month, and Public Radio 90 presents readings by poets from the Northern Michigan University and surrounding communities. Today we'll hear poetry by Janine Granger, who is currently a graduate student in the Master of Fine Arts and Creative Writing program at Northern Michigan University.
Shall not hurt them. I was 7 when I laid hands on Missy Milburn's head and stopped her fits. I felt the spirit working through me, and her twitching ceased. Learned about herbs, where to find them, how to use them, that stinging nettles can be brewed into tea, and yellow yarrow works as a poultice and such. Serpents. I just started handling on my own. Timber rattlers, cottonmouths mostly. Love the shift of their skin, the sleep of them sunning on warm rocks, like babies in the cradle of a gunny sack. Coming out of darkness, they coil around me, the arms of a mother scared to lose her child. There's holiness there. Mama passed away about a month before my 13th birthday. Now on nights when the moon's riding high and Pa's got a skin full of shine, he comes looking for me. I keep a gunny sack full of snakes by my bed. He catches sight of the brown burlap moving like a giant mussel, and he finds elsewhere to lie. Fishing for words. I cast a silver net upon an ocean of words, pull them toward my boat. Repeat the casting, the pulling, until the hold is full. And I make my way to shore. I scatter my catch, shimmering words flipping, flopping, the blood-red gills of their breath open and close like scarlet umbrellas. Pick me, choose me, and I do. I arrange the words into stories, poems, precious and painful memories, arrange, rearrange, seek an ordained place for each. Use the fragments to make a whole. Some words, wounded, unacceptable, I return to the waves for another day, a separate purpose. I am caught in the rhythm of words and water on that sentinel beach. I toil through the long twilight until the face of the moon arches high in the blue-black sky, illuminating sentences. I close my eyes, say, it is good, and sleep. Past forgetting. She's in the John for the 4th time this morning. I measure out 5 sheets of Charmin so the toilet won't plug. The crest is hidden. She brushes morning and night, but uses a squeeze that would sparkle the teeth of a family of 8. Alone in the bathroom, she believes no one can hear her. She talks to God and his angel about failures and sins that never took place. Some days her mind is a gray slate lake with no words to guide her. She struggles into underpants, rolls and unrolls the same pair of socks. Worn out, she hunts for the rest of her clothes. Her address book is buried deep in the snow. Some days are blessed. She smiles, becomes the she, before thinking failed. Some days her mind works with the tides, erases the remnants of memory not eaten by a great white with shiny, sharp teeth. Dirty laundry. It's not the whitened circle from the ever-present can of Copenhagen worn into the fabric of the right back pocket. Smoke rings blown towards a gibbous moon. It's not the leather belt I remove with its wavy silver buckle that resides beneath his umbilicus. It's not when they're on a heap on the bedroom floor. But it is when they assume his shape, when those long legs climb into them, take on that swagger. It's the blueprint created by many wearings and washings that hide and reveal the workings of the body I crave. The fly curving around his penis, wavy, whitened, frayed. It's when I hold the jeans to my face, inhale his scent, wood smoke, the musky male smell that is his alone, a pungent intoxicant that stirs my senses. It's when I touch the soft cotton, so like caressing his bare skin, that I want to howl. A tendril of white string, intimately trundled to my groin, has unraveled from their hem and tickles my nose as I release them into the wash water. Loose connections. Dear Marley, on this gray day I ducked into the Whitney when drizzle turned to rain. I was drawn to the Edward Hopper exhibit. Fragmented light altered the map of the functional, the mundane, into art. Night shadows hid the grimness daylight would impart. My eyes, my mind, were drawn to the interactions of his figures, his dramatic staging, how he pulls the observer in. In those empty rooms, I entered his diners, gas stations, rented rooms. I think of us in those rented rooms, your shadow hovering over my ready body, sweet slick as skin meets skin. We listen as Lady Day's husky laments circle up from the bar below. I think of us, and Hopper's all-night diners facing empty streets, of us, shoulders touching, watching your pulse beat in your wrist. I went to our diner on 53rd Street. No one spoke to me. I am invisible without you. I cannot see myself in the mirror. I stand before my class, look over my students' heads. So many baby robins waiting to be fed. They flutter their wings, unable to fly, without a push from the nest. I sleep with your blue shirt. It is losing its scent. Irish malt whiskey. Johnson's baby shampoo. That ineffable smell that is just you. I followed a man 6 blocks. His hair curled over his collar like yours. I walked so close behind that he turned angry. Ashamed, I ran to the sublet, howled until the cat hid in the closet. Your assignment was for 3 weeks, but it's been 3 weeks, 6 days, 16 hours. The only address I have is CNN headquarters in Cabal. Are you still in the hills? Come home. Your nighthawk, Lucy. Last Dance. They sashay a slow waltz in wheelchairs and walkers to the music of rubber-soled nurses and the clang of bedpans. Their harmony is sneezes and wheezes and snatches of forgotten songs. They drive their wheelchairs over the threshold, their cart and their plow over the bones of the dead. Hours of waiting, no clock can measure. The mirror shows a face they no longer know. Serve 3 meals as tasty as dog food. They crave dessert, anything chocolate, and eat it first. They mourn children and grandchildren who rarely visit. Shuffle faded photos with bent edges, like collections of worn baseball cards. No one collects baseball cards. They have lost the who they were before age invaded. The gift of a hug, a bright ribbon, or a few minutes to listen to their over-told tales. Everything is more important than charting the body's decline or the mind's failure. When they no longer speak and curl into the womb, when memory flies to the moon, their hours of waiting will end. Chagall dreams. Caught in a net of sameness, she pretends she is alone, not in bed with the lump that used to be her sister. She buries her head beneath covers, turns on the TV at 3 a.m., and surfs for me time. She cares for a 55-year-old Downs with early dementia, who has forgotten how to dress herself, who can't wipe herself, who gets stuck on the stairs and cries she does not know how to go up or down, who now sleeps and travels through a Chagall night peopled with blue cows, floating churches, and no vocabulary to explain any of it. life doesn't turn out the way you expect it to. Her day will be spent looking after and for things. The gas bill is crumbled in her sister's pocket. The car keys are warming in the oven. The list of lost things grows daily. They go to Mass, where one evokes a novena to a non-listening God. Bargains pleads that for a little longer, this child she never birthed will not forget her name. The other croons gibberish, sings the chorus of Oklahoma during the hymn, nibbles the host with relish like an hors d'oeuvre, and hugs half the parishioners after communion. The child sister falls asleep in the blue beanbag chair, watching reruns of Little House, as an ocean of wheat drowns the smiling girl. Chagall images flit behind her heavy lids. They stumble together towards bed and tomorrow.
These National Poetry Month readings are a Public Radio 90 production, recorded and produced in the facilities of WNMU-FM at Northern Michigan University. I'm Stan Wright. Thanks for listening.